Hi, this is Michelle Page, your host of Go, Go, Grow. Welcome to a new episode. I'm the founder of Revenue Chasers, and I am here to help give you the knowledge and resources to help you scale your business. So today, I want to shine the spotlight on your sales organization. There's a lot of different aspects to cover, and we've covered quite a few in past episodes, so I'm sure there's quite a bit of information that you'll want to look at in especially season one. But there's a few topics that I want to dig into today. So we're going to share a few different snippets that is going to look at five or six different topics individually, and I think you'll find a lot of value in each one. The first question I'm often asked by startups, even second stage companies, is, well, I'm the founder. I'm the best salesperson for my company. I call this the founder's dilemma. And the essential question here is, well, I've built a great product or service. Aren't I the best salesperson to sell it? And my unequivocal answer is no. That sounds harsh, but if you're the founder, it's probably because you are an expert in whatever your product or service is based on. And if that's your area of expertise, it is highly unlikely that you have a strong expertise also in sales. And even if you do have the expertise in sales, your time and attention needs to be focused on building your company and scaling your company. So you need that additional resource to help you grow from a sales and marketing aspect. So I guested on a podcast a little over a year ago. It was Corey Bray's podcast, The Sales Management Podcast, and the episode was entitled The Founder's Dilemma, and I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes, but we examined this very topic, and essentially, the question mark is, when do you hire a sales leader, and who is that first hire, and is it a sales leader or marketing leader? Well, the key question boils down to, what is it that you're selling? Product, industry, even price point. And how do you best reach your customer? So at this point, you probably need to talk to an advisor to help them identify who your ideal client profile is. Now, you probably have an idea of who that is, but if you're answer is, well, our ideal client profile is any manufacturer in the U.S. who has less than 100 employees and generates less than $1 million in revenue. That's not a tight enough ICP. You need to get granular. You need to say they manufacture this narrow product. You need to get a little bit more narrow on the size of the manufacturer. You need to get a little bit more narrow in terms of probably more narrow in terms of geography. And the reason I say that is because a computer chip manufacturer who's doing 100,000. If they're doing $1 million a year versus a job shop, that is doing $100,000 a year, they're going to have very different needs. And you're going to sell to different people in that organization. They're going to have a different decision-making process. So who you hire for sales and how you market to them is going to be radically different. Therefore, you're going to have a different organization and strategy in place. If you're selling to a consumer-based company, if you're selling to a B2B that sells consumer, again, different strategies, and you're going to need a different person in that place. Now, do you hire someone to simply generate leads for you to close? Do you hire an AE to go out and generate their own and close them? Do you hire a VP of sales to be a player coach? Those are a lot of questions that you need to answer. And without knowing your specific situation, I can't tell you the answer right now. I can tell you player coach is probably, in most cases, not a good choice. And I'm happy to talk with you further about that if you like. But that's probably a subject for another podcast. It is very likely you need to talk to somebody outside of your organization to give you that outside perspective. Whether it is a consultant, an advisor, a fractional, maybe it's a peer, maybe it's a think tank group. If you're a member of Vistage or a community leadership group, any of those organizations can give you that type of feedback, but it needs to be objective feedback. Another key to sales is what I call the three M's, also referred to as the three-legged stool. The three-legged stool is a good analogy because you can't sit on a stool that only has two legs. You need the third leg to be stable in order to support you. And those three legs are called market, message, and medium. So let's talk about what that means in terms of sales and having a successful strategy that you can actually take to market in a go-to-market strategy so that you can implement and scale as your business grows. So let's talk for a moment about your market. You've heard me say before, ICP is so important. So the market, when you have an ICP narrowed down and you know very specifically who it is that you want to target, then you need to have good quality data. You know, back in the old days when you would, you know, just buy a list, you know as well as I do, those lists are dated the moment they generate the list. Dynamic data is what you need. That's going to be updated on a regular basis. No, it's not instantaneously, but it's updated. And the chances of that information being more specific for the titles you're looking for the industry information you're looking for, having a phone number or an email or an org chart, it's much higher than if you were to buy a static list that may not have access to all the titles you're looking for. So if you're looking for a systems engineer and you pull a list of engineers, you may get product engineers, you may get design engineers, you may get technical engineers, you may get train engineers. So you need to be very, very specific and something that you can drill down to and filter to make it definitely worth the investment of the data and also to have it be repurposed for any number of campaigns. So the market is critical to your success, absolutely critical. Now, to touch on ICPs, I'm of the mindset that in addition to ICPs being so very vital, it's also vital to have multiple ICPs. Let me give you an example. 4 years ago, the world had a world-changing event, a business-changing event, a global economic event, the pandemic. Think about what happened to business during that time. Think about just the supply chain. What happened to the supply chain? If your ICP is selling to a market that is impacted by a component that you can't obtain that component because of supply chain issues, your business is severely impacted. On the flip side, if your target market is unable to continue in business, for example, your target market is retail, and retail is shut down for 6 months, what happens to your business then? So I highly encourage you to have at least two, maybe three ICPs. And you've heard the phrase, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Spread out, have multiple streams of income. And that's just as true if you are offering multiple services, but also have multiple channels for your product. So that's market. Let's talk a little bit about the message. You have your ICP or ICPs right now. Think about what you want to say to them. Now, I said earlier, it's not about what you offer your prospect or your customer. It's about what problem they have that you can solve. And I encourage you to think about this not just once you have your product developed or your service defined, but while you're developing the product or service, while you're going through an iterative design, while you're looking at enhancements, upgrades, alternative versions. The customer decides what they need. Actually, let me rephrase that. The customer often thinks what they want. But as a skilled expert in your area, you need to understand what the customer needs. So they may say, well, I want to be able to solve my delivery problems. I want to be able to deliver faster. I want to be able to deliver with fewer steps in the process. And you may understand that what they need is to optimize their own internal operations, or they need to streamline their own supply chain with their vendors. So understand their need, even if they don't understand their need, and that's the message you need to deliver. So your message is not about what your product does. It's about the pain that your clients have that you solve. The other thing about messages, marketing and sales and customer success, they need to have the same message, the same value prop. They need to speak the same language. The customer experience needs to be consistent throughout the process. Let's talk about medium. The medium is the way your sales organization reaches out to your prospects. It can be outbound telemarketing, inside sales, lead generation. It can be demand generation through marketing, social media, ad placement. It can be direct mail. It can be anything through live events, trade shows, virtual events, webinars, thought leadership pieces, PR. Any of that is the medium. So you need to think about what medium you're going to use and how to coordinate all the different mediums to have the same message to the same markets. Three M's, one three-legged stool. So I wanted to spell a concept here that so many organizations that I've talked to have. And that is, sales fixes all pains. Not all sales are the same, and you can't just throw your resources at a sales organization and say, okay, go sell. Doesn't work that way. If you want to set up your sales organization for success, it needs to have a firm foundation. It's a pyramid for success. I like to call it a hierarchy of success. So often I will talk to clients and they say, so we need help with business development, with lead generation. So can you help us with an outsourced lead generation team? Or can you come in and coach our existing sales reps so that we can increase results? I'm happy to do that. Absolutely happy to do that. I want to see you succeed as a client. So tell me, what database do you use to house all your information? What CRM? Where do you get your data? What's your marketing message? What's the marketing department's message? What is the customer success message? Have you talked to operations and product design and the executive office to see what message they believe is the value prop? Let's talk about training. What training resources have you provided? What coaching are you currently doing? Have you done any onboarding or assessments for your current team? All these things need to be thought about before you can add more sales. If you don't have processes and procedures in place and you throw leads at a sales rep or a team of reps, you're going to get spaghetti thrown at the wall. Some will stick, some won't. In other words, you're wasting your money. And at the end of the day, many will say outbound doesn't work, or demand generation doesn't work, or prospecting through this medium doesn't work. And the end result is you didn't set yourself up for success with the right framework. So the hierarchy of success starts at the bottom, and you have to establish each layer in order to move on to the next layer. Some can be done concurrently. Some you may already have in place, and I would encourage you to revisit it either internally or, better yet, with an external objective eye and say, okay, is this where we need it to be? Does it need to be improved? Do we have reference materials for our sales team that they can go back to when they have questions and they can answer that question quickly? If a prospect asks them information about what the product or service can do, or capabilities, or anything about what you offer, do they have to go back to the team and wait for a response? Or is that information easily accessible? Do you have documents, training manuals on how to use your system? And more importantly, is everybody using your system? And if they are using the system, are they using it all right? These questions are so important. They really, really are. So if you want a successful sales organization, you have to set it up for success. Your hierarchy of success is so very critical. And you know, this is true of every single area of your organization. It's true of operations. It's true of your technology. It's true of your finance. And if you look at it from an entire organizational area, it's absolutely true of your entire organization. If you need help identifying what your hierarchy of success is, I'm happy to talk to you. I can put you in touch with other resources if you have something that is specific to technology or finance, where I can give you some general information. But if you want to talk specifically to a finance leader, I absolutely can share someone in my network that I know and I trust, and I am confident sharing their contact information. Anything that you need, if I have the resources, which I probably do, I'm happy to share it with you. Look at your hierarchy, look at your framework. If you don't have a framework, you need one. That's why it's called a hierarchy of success. So let's talk about your sales team. There are a lot of different specialized sales roles. And if you are looking for a particular type of result, you probably need a specialized role. So I'd like to talk to you about the business development role, oftentimes called a BDR, business development rep, or SDR, sales development rep. The next role I'll talk about is the AE, which is an account executive. There's also a sales leader, which could be a VP of sales. It could be any type of team leader or anything of that nature, but somebody who is over the individual performers, may also be an individual performer as well as a leader. There are sales engineers in some companies, and there's also sales enablement in some companies. So let's talk about the different roles and why I call them specialized roles. So the business development, sales development role, it really is a unique skill set. These are the individuals who make a lot of phone calls, do emails, direct prospecting, things of that nature. It is a different skill set because they oftentimes have to know as much about the product or service as an account executive so that they can pick up on a client's need, want, desire, latent need, future intent, keywords, anything of that nature, based on their knowledge of the product or service in the industry and the value prop. But they don't go so far as to do the selling. They really are a valuable part of the organization. And the BDR, SDR, if you get a good one, it is invaluable. Much to the shock of a lot of non-salespeople, this is not often an entry-level role. It really isn't. There are BDRs and SDRs that I know who have been one for 20, 25 years, and they wouldn't want any other sales position. It is extremely rewarding and is very much undervalued by too many people. So this is critical if you're looking to build a pipeline. Absolutely critical. The account executive is often called either full cycle sales, which means they do their own prospecting and take it all the way through the sales prospect and or sales process and then close the deal. Or they could have leads turned over from the business development side that they take and close from that point forward. So depending on what your organization is structured to be, they could be the entire process or they could be the back half. So depending on what your needs are and how your budget is structured, how your organization, how large it is, the AE could be an all-purpose player, or it could be the specialist. The sales leader needs to have a different set of sales skills as well. The leader, in addition to knowing the sales process very, very well, and knowing your product or service very, very well, and the market and the competition and the industry and your value prop, they need to know people and people skills and the analytical side of it. They need to know what the important KPIs are, key performance indicators. They need to know how to interpret them, and they need to know how to coach your team on how to improve not only their hard KPIs, but also their soft skills, their closing ability, their prospecting skills. So that type of a role is not a natural escalation or promotion from SDR to AE to sales leader. They're all very different skills. If you're not including training and development from one position to the next, you're doing a disservice not only to your team member, but to you and your company as well. You need to prepare them for the next role if that's their choice. Please don't assume that that's their choice. I know many AEs that just have no interest in going into sales leadership. It's not them. It's not their thing. They want to be sales. Before I go back to those three sales roles, I want to kind of talk about the other two ancillary roles. The sales engineer, there are many organizations that are more technical in nature, that maybe it's a SaaS organization, maybe it's any other type of technologies, hardware, software. They tend to be on the very technical, you need to do a demo, you need to be selling to engineers and operational individuals within the prospect organization. That's when a sales engineer is highly recommended. Rather than discount an SDR, BDR, AE that is an excellent salesperson, they know your market, they know your value prop, but maybe they don't have the technical skills and language to be able to do a full demo. And maybe it's not a good use of their time and bandwidth. That's when a sales engineer is so important, because that sales engineer can talk the same language and understanding as the prospect's technical decision makers as well. It also raises your visibility and reputation in the prospect's eyes that you have a technical expert, you have a sales engineer, and it kind of validates your expertise as a company. So sales engineer for many companies will be a very wise addition to your sales organization. For startups, that's something that you have to look at from a budgetary standpoint, but as soon as it fits into your budget, for those more technical products, that would definitely be a wise investment. The other one I want to speak to on kind of the ancillary sales organization roles is sales enablement. Now, sales enablement has really two connotations. One is on the technical side. So tech stacks that will enable your sales organization to be more efficient, that will allow them to be a little bit more expedient, give them greater resources, greater capabilities, greater knowledge, increase their training, increase data sources. A lot of these integrate with each other to allow you to send emails, monitor calls, do campaigns, power dial. There are so many capabilities out there. The other side of sales enablement is more on the coaching training side and providing those types of resources. So those types of sales enablement tools can be very helpful to your team. But a word of caution here is before you invest in a lot of technology, make sure it's needed. Make sure it's not an overlap of what you already have. And make sure it truly is a value add that will be used and will move the needle. Again, that area is somewhere where I encourage you to engage with an objective third party that can come in and say, okay, given you and your situation and your growth goals, this is what I recommend that's going to enable you, sales enablement, see what I did there, which is going to enable you to best achieve your sales goals for your sales team. Now, I want to go back to those roles, SDR, BDR, AE, and sales leader. There's a lot of talk, especially on LinkedIn, about player coach. That is something that I have a real challenge believing that that is a good course of action for pretty much any company. I have been asked by many clients, some potential clients, to be that first person on the team player coach. And I have turned it down every single time. The reason being, if you want a player who has an individual contributor quota, and you want a coach who is going to build the infrastructure and has a quota as well, you have one person doing two full-time jobs, but they're going to do each job a quarter of the way that it should be done. You're not going to get your bang for your buck. And that person is going to very likely fail to meet your expectations of both. And they're very likely going to fail at them meeting their revenue goals because the player side is not going to meet their revenue capabilities and revenue expectations. I caution you strongly on the player coach approach. We can talk about that in depth if you'd like. Just contact me at michelle@revenuechasers.com. To paraphrase business management guru Peter Drucker, you can't manage what you don't measure. So let's talk about KPIs, otherwise known as key performance indicators. They are so interesting and important in sales. And if you're a numbers person like me, you can think of dozens of key performance indicators to really dig into what's happening in your sales department with your performers, your sales reps, what's going on with the market, what projections are going to be, revenue forecasts, pipeline forecasts, activity, efficiency. But that's a lot of activity and a lot of KPIs to measure. So let's think about what's important, okay? What's important are those KPIs that are going to provide the information that's going to get you closer to your goals. So let's boil it down. What is your goal? How do you measure success? If your success is measured in a dollar goal, a revenue goal. Let's say you want to do $1 million in revenue in the next 12 months. And you know that your average deal is $100,000. So how many deals do you need in the next 12 months to reach your goal? Okay, so now that you know how many deals you need, what is your closing ratio? That's how many appointments you need. Okay, so I've got my handy dandy calculator here. Let's say your revenue goal is $1 million over the next 12 months. Let's say your average deal size is $10,000. So if you divide $10,000 into 1 million, that means you need to make 100 sales in the next 12 months. So let's say your closing ratio is about 25%. So one out of every four appointments you close. So that means you need 400 appointments to be able to close 100 deals and generate $1 million in revenue. Okay, so now we're cooking. We need 400 appointments. So if you break that down into 12 months, you now need 34 appointments per month. So we know what we're dealing with, 34 appointments per month. Okay, so we can measure a couple different things here. Once we know how many appointments we need and how many dollars we need, we can look at measuring KPIs for activity and for dollars. Activity, how do we measure that? What do we need to look at? Well, we need to look at how many appointments were set and the activities that lead to that success. Again, appointments set. Well, how many calls or prospecting efforts were made to reach those appointments? You can also look at conversion rate. So of those calls, what was the conversion rate to be able to hit that number of appointments? You can also look at, okay, well, we hit 400 appointments. How do we impact the 25% closing rate to get to the 100 sales? Because if you change that KPI, if you increase it and you coach to that KPI, then you can increase your success. So the whole reason to get to these KPIs and to identify the right KPIs to track is so that you know how to coach your sales team, how to adjust your strategy, and how to fine tune where you're putting your attention. Now, over to the revenue side. If you're looking at how to use that information for the KPIs. Well, if you want to hit a million and you have to do 100 sales, then what if we increased our price point? How does that help us surpass? What if we get halfway through the year and we're under target? Well, we can adjust to see how many appointments that we need at that point. So KPIs help us adjust our strategy. It may help us realize that we need to add another territory that we're focusing on. We may need to add another headcount. So look at what information you need to support your end goal. And then think about, okay, what decisions might I need to make? How do I need to support my strategy? And what do I need to know to be able to make those decisions? Get your KPIs down to 3 to 5. Perfect those, measure them, coach to them. Whether it's coaching your team, coaching yourself, coaching your leadership team. And once you refine that process, then you can expand your KPIs if you find there's something else that you're not tracking or not analyzing and you need to. Hope that helps. Here's to your success. Another common misconception that many business owners have when I speak to them is that a renewed focus or refined focus on sales will pay off almost immediately. And they're going to be able to see that impact in their top line, which of course will float down to their bottom line. The reality is that's usually just not the case. The immediate impact may directly boost activity. And it may directly boost awareness in the marketplace, but the trickle-down effect into revenue, profitability is going to take a little bit more time, especially if you're starting off from a point of not having that foundation in place, not having the personnel in place, no procedures, no processes, no CRM, or having bad data, bad hygiene in your CRM, not having a tight ICP, maybe your messaging is off. It's not likely that throwing your efforts at it today is going to pay off tomorrow. Maybe a couple days after that, maybe next week, and maybe next month. And of course, I'm being facetious there. It is going to take a little bit of time. But what I encourage you to do is get started. Get started today and be urgently methodical. That's how you're going to see results. Yes, I made that up. Urgently methodical. You need to be urgent. If you don't get started, you're just delaying your own success. And the methodical part of that, you have to have a plan. You have to have a strategy. You can't implement nothing if you don't have something that you're implementing that has some structure, that has some strategy, that has a scope of where you're going and the bridge that you're going to use to get from where you are to where you're going, then you just don't have a map to success. And you're going to end up, how a GPS will take you into a pond because it's not been updated. We don't want that. So urgently methodical. Don't expect an instant payoff. Get started. Work hard towards your goal. Be ready to shift or pivot, but always move forward. I wish you the best of luck. Please let me know how I can help. Stay tuned for another episode of Go, Go, Grow. Share your feedback. Give us a 5-star rating. And let someone else in your network who can benefit from this content, let them know about our podcast. I'd love to help as many people as we can. Thank you.